Father, we do thank you once again today, Lord, for your grace in our lives. We thank you, God, that, Lord, you've given us your word. And I pray now that as we study and look at your word, that you would, Lord, you would impact our lives, especially, God, as we're once again kind of diving into the personal life of Jesus and sort of getting that inside picture that, Lord, it would begin to be our personal life, that we would take these things that we see and read and principles and we would apply them to our lives, and our lives would be a reflection of that personal life that we're reading. So God, I know that's your heart's desire for us. That's what you want to see happen to us. So Lord, we thank you for this time today. We give you this time and we look so forward to what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, just to kind of catch us up, it's been a while since we've been in Mark. Just to kind of catch us up, remember Jesus is up in Galilee and he spent some time in Capernaum, at the home of Simon Peter, Peter's mother-in-law. And we saw that last time. Remember, all the miracles are happening. People came all night long. So that's a good catch-up, you know, kind of what we're going to look at. Now, here's an interesting thing about this section. We're going to see two very specific things. And another thing about the life of Jesus that I think is important for us to think about our own lives. Number one, we're going to look at his prayer life. Important aspect for us to think about. Number two, he's going to tell us the purpose and reason why he came. That I believe sometimes we kind of lose sight of that and get off on that. But then lastly, another really important one, we're going to look at the compassion of Jesus. In the midst of a man who's got a busy life, a busy schedule, a lot of things going on. So as we think about that, listen, here's my prayer, that we would become men and women who we definitely, listen, we have a prayer life and we have a life of compassion, and then we don't lose sight of the purpose why we are here. And you know what? Here's what I believe strongly. If we get a hold of those things, we can change the world. We can radically change our world, because didn't Jesus change the world? Yeah. And he's left us here to do the same. So as we work through this, think about it. And you know what? Think about maybe some areas you need to say, okay, you know what? I need to work on that area. I need to give that some time in my life and put some energy into it. So look at verse 35. It says, listen, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, I'm going to camp on 35 for a little bit, because I think it's important. I think it's important as we look at it, some things that you and I can glean for our own lives. And I think the first thing is Jesus prayed. Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. And he prayed. Listen, if Jesus took the time to pray, you know what that tells me? I surely should be taking the time to pray. If who he, you know, if him being who he is needed that time with the Father, how much more do I need that? And listen, I think we all need to walk away from here understanding that prayer is important. Because sometimes people act like, well, it's not that big a deal. Yes, prayer is important. And then some people, listen, then some people say, well, I don't know how to pray. And I kind of get that. I know, you know, when I was first saved and you get around people and, you know, they do some eloquent prayers and do things, you think, well, I'm not that eloquent. I don't have that vocabulary. And I definitely don't talk in King James English. So I don't know if God would hear my prayers. Do you know what prayer is? It's real simple. It's talking to God. It's all it is. It's talking to God. And God, listen, God, you don't have to have perfect, you know, grammar, no matter what language you're speaking. You don't have to have perfect grammar. You don't have to say it just right. And you definitely don't have to be a King James person. Just talk to God. Just tell him. Talk to him. You know what my favorite prayer in the Bible is? It's the one, it's in Mark. It's the one Peter. It's when Peter was sinking. My favorite prayer, Peter's sinking, and what did he say? Help, Lord. That's a good prayer, right? Listen, and Jesus didn't look at him and go, oh, that wasn't a very good prayer. It was a little short. I think he could have said a little bit more. What did Jesus do? He reached out and grabbed him, right? And he saved him. Listen, that should teach us. You don't have to have all of the eloquence. You don't have to have all of those things. Just pray. Just talk to God. God wants to spend time with you. Do you know that? He died on the cross. He longs for you to come into his presence. And so just sit and talk to him. So now we saw that, right? Prayer is important. We kind of got that, right? And it's not difficult. It's not something that you have to kind of, you know, get the right thing. Just talking to him. So let's look at how Jesus approaches this. And maybe we can glean some principles for ourselves. Number one, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Now listen, from that, here's what I glean. You need to make prayer a priority when you first are starting your day. And I listen, there are people who read this and they say, well, he did a long while before daylight, so you better get up early. I remember back in the 80s when I had first got saved, there was a whole movement going on, and I can't remember the name of it. I've been trying to think all week, and I don't remember the name. But they were like some prayer warriors, and you know, they had all this spiritual warfare, and they would come out and they'd wear combat stuff, camouflage stuff, and talk about how we have to pray. And I remember, here's what they said. You have to get up at 4 a.m. There's some people in here that are never going to see 4 a.m., ever. This is not, listen, they're not morning people. And if you force yourself to get up at 4 a.m., you know what you're going to be doing in like 3.5 minutes? So listen, just because Jesus did it here, that does not mean, listen, it doesn't mean a time, but here's what it does mean. He did it in the beginning of the day. So whenever your day begins, I'm not going to put a time on it, but when your day begins, you need to begin your day with prayer. You need to set aside a time to talk with God before you go on with your day. Listen, some of us say we have a busy schedule. Really? Have you ever tried to run the universe? It's a little difficult. And if a person, listen, if anybody had a busy schedule, Jesus has a busy schedule. As a matter of fact, we're about to read about a busy day he's going to have. And what does he do on his busiest day? Stops and prays. Because that's when you need to pray. And you know what? Some of us go, well, I got people to meet. I got people to talk to. Well, you want to meet their needs. You want to talk to them, right? You got to find out from the Father what's going to happen. And he can give you that. Listen, so we got to pray in the morning. And then I remember those guys in their camouflage and all that. Get up at 4 a.m. And then here's what they'd say. You have to pray 1 hour. And so I'm sitting there going, man, I got to pray for an hour. So you get done in 10 minutes. And then you just babble for another 50 minutes. And God goes, man, I really enjoyed that. Listen, God doesn't enjoy your babbling any more than anybody else enjoys your babbling. How long should you pray? Listen carefully. Till you're done. Pray till you're done. That's, you know, it's that simple. Some of us will be done in 10 minutes. Some of us will be done in 15 minutes. Some of us will be done in 3 hours. Pray until you're done. I think it's that simple. Now, listen, as I say that, I want to also clarify, you might want to spend some time listening, you know, reading the Word and listening to see what He has for you. Don't just like rush through it and go, I'm out of here, by God. You want to spend some time. So listen, if we start our day and we seek Him, no matter how busy we are, I remember several years ago at some conference, and I think it was Pastor Mark Martin of Calvary Community up in Phoenix was sharing this, and he said he was going through a day. He had one of those days where he just had to hit it running, and he didn't pray. Shock, shock. Pastors sometimes don't pray. But, well, Mark, anyway. But, but listen, he hit it running, and he's going like crazy. And then about 3 or 4 o'clock, he got into a circumstance that was overwhelming. And he's like in the middle of it, and he's going, Lord, why did I get blindsided by this? You know what the Lord told him? Oh, I had the answer for you at 6:30 this morning, but you were too busy. Wow. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it, when you think about that? Hey, God will prepare us for our day if we take the time to talk to Him. You know, He knows exactly what's coming your way. Do you know that? He knows everything about it. And so listen, take the time, set some priority, make it a time first thing in the morning. Because all of us, listen, there's a lot of us that we go, well, I get busy and then I go do that. And if you're like me, if you put it off in the morning, you surely aren't going to do it like 10, 11 o'clock because you're busy. And then noon, you're busy, if you're like me, stuffing your face, and you're not going to do that. Oh, you'll pray for your food, but not a long prayer. And then all of a sudden, here's what's going on. It's 10:30, 11, 11:30. You're throwing yourself in bed. You're exhausted. And you're going, okay, now I can pray. Lord Jesus. And you don't pray. So do it in the morning. Do it when you first start your day. And then notice this, Jesus set that priority, did it early in the morning, and then it says, listen, he went out and departed to a solitary place. Find a place where you can be alone with him. You know, and that's going to differ for all of us. Some of us, we're going to go outside. Some of us, we're going to get, you know, for me, I like getting in my, you know, quote, my favorite chair, and I like being in that chair, and, you know, just, I get my bubble, you know. And I'm alone, and you do that. But find a place where you can be quiet. And you know what? For some of us, we need to turn our gadgets off, right? We live in that era. Now, listen, I use my iPad to read my Bible and do a devotion and do things on. So use it that way. But don't be checking your Twitter. Don't be checking Facebook. Don't be, you know, checking this. Don't be doing all that. Spend some time and let it be a solitary time between you and the Lord. And you know what's going to happen to your life? It is going to be radically transformed just by doing that. Because we got people we want to talk to. We got people we need to meet. He's going to give us what we need for those meetings, for those encounters, for what's going on. And he's going to show us. So, look, we look at Jesus and I look at these things and I think these aren't that difficult to do for any of us. Once again, I don't care how busy you are. You can use that excuse, but, you know, it doesn't cut it. You can spend some time with God. So Jesus, he ministered, if you remember, most of the night, I believe. And then I read this, and when I read this, I get this whole picture. Do you get pictures in your mind when you read the Bible? You kind of get action-packed things. And I get this picture. Remember who was at this house? There was Peter. There was his mother-in-law, so I'm assuming his wife. There was Andrew, James and John, Jesus. There was quite a few people hanging out. And I get this picture like Jesus got up really early in the morning, and I see him with his sandals going to the door. And sneaking out. And he sneaks out, and he finds a place to get alone. And he's all alone, and he's seeking the Father. And he's seeking God's will. And then, check this out, look what happens. These guys are the ones following him. These are the ones he chose. Verse 36 says, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. So here's what happened. Somebody in the house finally woke up. Where's Jesus? I don't know. He left. So when it says they searched for him, the original language is, you know, like when you're hunting high and low. You're looking everywhere. Where did he go? You're outside. You're looking here. You're looking there. And they're looking all over for him because they have, in their minds, an emergency. Jesus is gone, and some really cool things happened last night. And here's, I think, what's going on in their minds. We got to strike while it's hot. So listen to what they say. They find him. Verse 37, when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. Now, implied in that is Jesus, what are you doing? What are you wasting time over here for when we got all these people? Listen, a multitude showed up last night. We can't let that dwindle. We got to keep this thing going. We got some momentum. Let's drive this thing, right? Let's go with this thing. And that's all what they're thinking. They're like so excited that all these people are showing up. And they, listen, most of the people, I believe, they're showing up for the wrong reason. Why is everybody looking for Jesus in the morning? Because he's a healer. He can touch people and they're made well. He can deliver them from demons. Let's find this guy. And people are looking for the miraculous. You know what? You build a following or a church on signs and wonders, you're going to have to increase the signs and wonders, and you're going to have to increase the dimension of the signs and wonders to keep people. It's going to have to grow and grow and grow and grow. And let me even go a little bit further. If your faith is based on miracles and signs and wonders, someday you're not going to have enough of those and your faith is going to begin to wane. Your faith and your church following need to be built on the truth of the Word of God. And signs and wonders can follow, but it needs to be built on that. That needs to be the foundation. So they're coming to Jesus and they're going, what is the matter with you? Here's what I'm thinking, you know, to put it in today's vernacular. Hey, we just read the latest church growth book and you're doing it all wrong. Why would you do this? And so listen, they're telling Jesus, everyone's looking for you. I love his answer. Verse 38, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns, listen, that I can go in and heal everybody and deliver them. Not what he says, is it? What's he say? This is important. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth. You see, Jesus had to give the word so people could get into the kingdom. Are you tracking with that? He came to die for our sins, but they got to get the truth. And truth is important to get into people's lives. And hey, do we need to be, quote, meeting people's social needs? I think we do. Once the truth gets a hold of us, and it needs to be a fruit of that. It needs to come out of that. And listen, I believe it's important. You know, we might even call it relevant. Do we need to be relevant to people? Absolutely. But relevance isn't the thing that motivates us. It's part of coming out of the truth. And listen, if we lose the truth, we're going to lose everything. And I might even say, though, if you lose relevance, you're going to lose a lot. So you got to see how the two kind of have to work together hand in hand. And that's what Jesus is saying. Listen to what one commentator said. He said this, forsake the truth and search for relevance. Forsake the truth and the search for relevance becomes a journey without maps or compass, ending in a wilderness which destroys. Man, that makes sense, doesn't it? You forsake the truth, you start going down that path, and you're going to get lost and messed up. But Jesus said, listen, I came to these people, and I came to give them the word that can change them and bring them into the kingdom. Yes, I care about their health, obviously, but the major reason I came is to set them free spiritually. And to heal them spiritually. So Jesus tells them, listen, he says, that's why I came. And then notice, then he did it, verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout Galilee and casting out demons. So listen, he continued the social work along with the spiritual. But you know what, as you read this, here's an interesting thought for us. Jesus didn't just pray. After he prayed, he put feet to his prayers. You see, praying is important, and I think it should be a priority. But once we pray, we need to start walking in what we prayed, and we need to start going forth and start, you know, doing what we're praying about. And you know, sometimes have you ever been praying and praying and praying and praying about something or a need somebody may have, and you pray and you pray and you pray, and you ever found out you're the answer to that prayer? Have you ever been that person? I remember years ago when I was first saved, there was a group that they were doing some work in Mexico, and I was kind of on the fringe of it, and it was some of the people that discipled me, and they needed somebody to help them out. And I prayed and prayed, God, bring somebody, bring somebody, bring somebody. And the whole time the Lord's going, I got somebody. He just ain't listening. But listen, sometimes you're the answer to your own prayer, but you got to put feet to it. So what do we learn from Jesus so far? We learn that prayer's a priority, and we learn you got to keep that foremost purpose. What are we here for? Why does the Church of Jesus Christ exist? The Church of Jesus Christ exists to make Him known. That's what we exist for. Can other stuff come out of that? Absolutely. But we exist for that. That's our purpose. So we learn that now. Listen, now I think we get into, one of the greatest works that Jesus does. Look at this next, verse 40. Now a leper came to Him. Now you and I read that, and it's not that big a deal to us. We live in America. I would venture to say most of us in this room have never seen leprosy up close and personal. Most of us in this room, the only time we've ever heard about leprosy is when we read our Bibles. We don't even think about it. We don't even know what it looks like. We don't even know what it is. Listen, it's one of the most horrible diseases there is. I've been to India. I've been to the River Ganges where people do their pilgrimage, the Hindus, to dip in the River Ganges. And I've been on those steps. They're two or three city blocks long of cement steps going down into the Ganges. And that's where the beggars are. Because listen, if you're on a religious pilgrimage, you'll be more giving. And I've seen leprosy up close and personal. I've seen people that just have stumps for fingers with pus coming out of the end of them. I've seen people with just a stump for a hand with just nothing but pus, no ear, no hair, no eyelashes. Their face is melting off their skull. I've seen that. That's leprosy. And yeah, there's different kinds, but you know, and there's different reasons why that happens. But that's, for the most part, leprosy. When the Bible talks about leprosy, listen, there are times, and you might do some background. You might read Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. And listen, in the Bible, Leviticus especially, it's talking about not just leprosy. It's talking about all skin diseases, because it's talking about psoriasis and it's talking about boils and different things that happen because there's a cure. For leprosy in biblical times, so leprosy, there was no cure. So you start rotting away. Here's the first thing they do to you. You need to leave and get out from the midst of everybody. You need to leave your family. But I have a wife. You need to leave your wife. I have kids. You need to leave your kids. Oh, you can't come to church anymore either. Oh, as a matter of fact, here's the thing. We don't even want you within so many feet of anybody. You don't get close to anybody because it was so fearful. Listen, if you got leprosy, here's the thing. Leprosy was a death sentence. It was a slow death, but you're going to die. So kind of keep that in mind. Here's this guy, and I don't know how long he has it. It doesn't tell us. I'm thinking he had it for a while. This is my opinion. And he wasn't just hurting physically. This guy was hurting emotionally and socially. He maybe hasn't been touched by another human being in years. No one even close to him. Do you know how important the human touch is to another human? Don't get touched for a while. Maybe for years. That's this man. And this man, for all intents and purposes, was dead. Because that's what leprosy does. It comes in and it just begins to eat away and destroy. Now do you see why sin, sometimes, you know, leprosy is used as an illustration for sin? What does sin do? Spiritually, it comes in and it just corrodes and eats and destroys and rots everything good. That's what sin does. And that's why in the Bible often, you know, it illustrates, you know, leprosy illustrates sin. So you got this guy. Oh, by the way, when you had leprosy too, you had to walk around and you, if you got near anybody, you had to put your hand over your lips so no germs, quote, would go out, although it wasn't contagious that way. But you'd have to put your hand over your lips and you'd do, unclean. And everybody would part. Everybody would go away. Wouldn't that be horrible? This is guy's life. Kind of stinks, doesn't it? Now, here's what's kind of crazy to me. You know, and I think maybe this is why I'm drawn to this event. This guy likes to color outside the lines, if you know what I mean. Listen, he's going to break, quote, the rules. He's going to stretch some things. And listen, he's supposed to be yelling unclean. What does he do? He approaches Jesus. That was a major no-no. Listen, it was a major no-no socially. It was a major no-no according to the ritualistic law and, you know, the law of Moses. This is like really bad. And here's what this guy's saying. What difference does it make? I'm dead anyway, right? So here he comes, man. You gotta love this guy. You gotta love this guy approaching Jesus. So listen, he says, hey, it doesn't matter. So now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This guy comes up to Jesus and he talks to him. That was so like, oh man, this guy is really taking a chance. He's really risking everything to do that. And he comes up to Jesus. You notice what he said to Jesus? Because it's extremely important. He said to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The guy had no doubt that Jesus could do it. He was completely convinced that Jesus had the ability, listen to this, to raise him up from the dead, because he's a dead man. Who raises dead people? God. This guy got a revelation of Jesus and he completely trusted in it, put his faith in it, and he walks up to Jesus, falls down on his knees, and he says, if you're willing, I know that I can be made clean. And isn't that how a lot of people in sin approach God? If you're willing, You see, we come to God and we have this sin that's destroying and corroding us. And we come to God and we say, if you're willing, of course he's willing. He died on a cross for our sins. He's willing to make us clean and whole. He desires to make us clean and whole. We just have to come to him. So this guy's saying, I don't doubt your ability. I just doubt if you're willing or not. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. And I love the whole idea. Here he is. He's going to Jesus and he says it. And then this next, listen, verse 41 says, then Jesus moved with compassion. You know, it's interesting. When I study my Bible, I read a bunch of different translations to kind of get an idea of, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of difference and nuances that you can pick up. Every translation that I read said the same thing. Now, Jesus moved with compassion. Commentaries I read, and you know the Brainiac people, here's what they said. They said, then Jesus moved with anger. That word for compassion was close to the same word for anger. And they go, would that? So evidently there's some ancient manuscripts that have anger rather than compassion. And they're going, that surely wouldn't be a copyist error because you wouldn't go that direction if you were making a mistake. But here's the interesting thing. They're going, why would Jesus be moved with anger? Is he angry at the man for kneeling down and getting close to him? Absolutely not. He's Jesus. What's he angry at? He's angry at the disease. He's angry that this disease is chewing up this guy's physical body. And he's angered about that. That kind of, when I get that my mind around that, that kind of makes me feel, wow, he really cares. And he's angered. And I also, though, I believe more accurate, he's moving with compassion. And why do I say, I think it's more compassion than anger because of this. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Now just stop there for a minute. Jesus reached out and touched that man. Do you know how incredible that had to be that day? Do you know what that felt like for that man? Finally, somebody is willing to just touch me. And he reached out and he touched him. And you know, I love all the legalists and all the people kind of, well, of course Jesus could touch him because the minute he touched him, he wasn't a leper anymore. I'm thinking, really? Jesus reached out and touched a leper. He touched him. And I think it's important because of this. Could not have Jesus stepped back and said, be clean. And the guy would be clean. Right? He could have done that. Why did he touch him? Because he was moved with compassion. That's why. Because Jesus is moved with compassion and he touches this man. Do you know what that felt like to that man? Another human being who had a warm, soft, real skin has touched him. And I don't know how long he had. That, but he hadn't felt that in a while. Let's just say it that way. And here's this hand on him. Suddenly it's on him. And that had to like change his whole world. Listen, I kind of think of it this way. That in and of itself would have been enough for that man. Just to have a human being touch him. But Jesus reaches out full of compassion and he touches him. You know, sometimes we kind of need to touch some people. And we need to reach out and do that. And you know what? They might even be unclean, if you know what I'm talking about. Touch them. Some of us are afraid, they're germophobes, and you know, you got to get over that. You got to get away from that. But I'm not talking that much. I'm even talking spiritually. You know, sometimes we treat people who have that disease of sin in their lives like they're horrible and we can't even get close to them. Maybe you need to touch them, physically touch them. It's okay. It's all right. They're human beings. So here's this guy, listen, Jesus touches this guy. I read that and I go, how incredible, how mind-blowing that was. And then, listen, he touches him and then he said, I am willing, be cleansed. Wow. Woo-hoo, yeah, listen. And then as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Don't you know there's one excited guy at that point? He's not like us sitting here today just reading it. Yeah, he was cleansed. Let's move on. This guy is like, I get a pig. Listen, I here's what I really think happened. He's jumping. He's hopping. He's going, look at my skin. Look at my skin. Look at my skin. Look, I got soft pink skin. Look at this. Check this out. And he's running around in circles maybe. Woohoo! Look at me. That's incredible. People didn't get healed from leprosy. And he's running. You guys are going, I think you're making all that up, Pat. Well, maybe I am, but I think he was doing that because of this. Look at the next verse. Verse 42. Verse 43. I'm so excited. Verse 43, listen, verse 43 says, and he strictly warned him. Listen, I think this guy's jumping around and Jesus had to grab him and go, dude, settle down. He strictly warned him. It's like, listen, this is like putting your finger in somebody's face. Listen, it wasn't just, hey, chill. It's like Jesus saying, dude, settle down. We have some stuff we have to do here and you're way too excited. I believe that's just the wording they use. Listen, and so Jesus gets up in this guy's grill. This is great, man. Listen, and he warned him and he sent him away at once and he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Really? Really? Here's what Jesus says. I don't want you to tell anybody. You've got to be kidding me. I don't want you to tell anybody. Look at me. I'm telling everybody. No, you can't tell anybody. That's kind of odd, isn't it? Jesus, why are you doing that? Why are you telling me not to tell anybody? I want to tell everybody. So listen, he says, don't tell anybody. Now, he does give the reason, I believe, but go your way, in the middle of verse 44, go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Hey, I want you to go your way. I want you to do the right thing. Let's follow the law here. Now, we got to wrap our minds around something. Where are they? Galilee. This guy's healed up in Galilee. Do you know where you did offerings? Jerusalem. I want you to go, and I don't want you to tell anybody, I want you to walk to Jerusalem. That's a few days away. I want you to walk to Jerusalem. I want you to do the offering. I want you to get this thing taken care of. For real? Wow, that's kind of heavy. Now, listen, I understand the whole offering and talking to the priests and doing that. By the way, if you're newer to the faith, this is not Catholic priests. This is Levitical priests, you know, part of Judaism. Because I think some people are new and they hear that word. I know when I first got saved, I always thought, you know, a priest is a Catholic priest. So listen, these are guys who are serving in the temple. And you got to go to the temple to see the priests. Synagogues, listen, a lot of us think, well, you could go to the synagogue. Synagogues didn't have priests. The priests were in Jerusalem. So here's what Jesus is telling this guy. I just healed you. You got to keep it on the, you know, DL until you go tell the priests, okay? So just take a hike, go out, do the offering, and do that. What does this guy do? This guy's like, yeah, that's going to happen. Look at verse 45. And he went and he began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter. This guy didn't even listen to Jesus. He goes, I don't think that's going to happen. And he's like hooting and hollering, oh, I got, whoo, man, I am cleansed. And here's what blows my mind in the Bible. Jesus, while he's there physically, because listen, he doesn't want a riot and he doesn't want people trying to make him Messiah, etc. So Jesus isn't just being mean. He knows what's going to happen. We'll read about it in a minute. But listen, in the Bible, when Jesus did something like this, here's what he told everybody. He says, don't go tell anybody. And every time he does that, they go tell everybody, right? And he tells you and me, go tell everybody, and we don't go tell anybody. It's kind of, we got all flipped around here. He tells us, go tell the world. We're going, we would be good lepers getting healed because we just go to the priest. This guy went and told everybody. He's like shouting it to everybody. Everybody, woohoo, yes, look at my hands. Look at pink skin, not pussy, rotty skin. Look what I have. And he's letting everybody know. And I mean, wouldn't you do that? Seriously, wouldn't you be a little bit excited? Even some of you who are like, you know, your heart rate is like 10. Even some of you who are there, you would be a little bit excited at this point because everything has changed. Everything in your life has changed. Don't you know he wanted to go, if he was married, grab his wife, hug her. If he had kids, he wanted to pick them up and hold them. And he got to do that for however long. Wow. Isn't that what Jesus does in our lives? When he sets us free from sin. He comes and that rotten leprosy is all gone and we're set free. We're set free. We no longer have that disease, that spiritual disease in us. Hallelujah, huh? Don't you love this picture? So listen, he goes and tells everybody, here's the backlash of this, listen. And he spread the matter, so in the middle of verse 45, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. Listen, Jesus couldn't get near places. Why? Everybody wanted to see the miracle man. Everybody wanted to see this guy who did stuff. Hey, this guy, we're going to read in a little bit, this guy can do lunch. He can feed 5,000 people with nothing. This guy can heal leprosy. This guy can cast out demons. And everybody wants to see the miracle. They're not interested. Listen, most of them are not interested in the truth. We find that out in John chapter 6, right? When Jesus turns around and says, here's some truth. Why don't you eat this? And they're going, no way, man. We're out of here. But listen, Jesus couldn't even go in his city anymore. So what did he do? You got to love Jesus. Listen, so Jesus went outside in deserted places and they came to him from every direction. Here's what Jesus said. Okay, it's fine. We'll go out on the hillside. His disciples are going, dude, this is so not a way to plant a church. What are you doing going outside the city? He goes, well, that's where we're going to go. Where are you going? And people came. Don't you want to have compassion like Jesus? Do you want Jesus to put that in your heart? Listen, it took me a while, and I'm still not. I think I'm pretty compassionate. You can ask my wife. I think I'm getting there, but I want to have that compassion for people. I want to have that concern for people. And you know, I found the way to do it is I got to draw closer to God. Because it's not part of my makeup. It's not who I am. So I got to get closer to him so his compassion then becomes my compassion. And we need that. And how do we get closer to him? Here, you notice I'm going to go in a little circle here. How do I get closer to him? I spend time praying with him. I spend time in his presence. I talk to him. I hang out with him. I hang out with his people. But mostly I get that quiet time and I talk to Jesus and he goes, let me pour this into you. Let me pour that into you. And then I have compassion and then I go out and do things. And then as I do things, I think I need a little bit more. And then I go back and I pray. So here's what I learned from this passage is number one, I need to be a man of prayer. And I believe all of us in here, we need to be men and women of prayer. Number two, we need to have the compassion of Jesus. And the care for others that Jesus had. And we need to ask him to put that in us. But number three, don't ever lose the purpose. Because lots of people can be compassionate and not have the truth. We got to have the truth, man. We got to give people the truth. Because listen carefully, the truth is what sets them free. And you and I, listen, Jesus, I'm convinced in my heart, this guy wasn't just healed from leprosy. He was healed spiritually. I even think this is an opinion. I think he was healed spiritually before he ever got there. Why? Because he was convinced that Jesus could do it. He was convinced Jesus was who Jesus said he was. So you and I, if you got some issues today with God, something he's bugging you about, just talk to him about it. Get it out on the table and deal with it. If you're having trouble praying, just remember, help, Lord. So remember that, you know. Listen, don't get all caught up in all the other stuff. Just remember, all I have to do is talk to him like I talk to anybody else, and God will hear me. And then I can have that relationship. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that as we think about what we just read, that once again, Lord, it wouldn't just be stories from some other time and some archaic thing, but Lord, we think about our lives, and if our lives get anywhere close to this pattern that we just read, if we can fit in that mold in our daily lives, that God, then I know we can change the world. So I pray, God, you would give us vision and direction, just as Jesus spent that time and then went out and met the people. Lord, we want to spend that time and then go out and meet our day every day to see what you have for us. And we want to be equipped to deal with the things that are going to come our way and the circumstances that are going to come our way. So God, we thank you. We thank you so much for this example. And we do desire compassion, God. And truth, how they work so together. And we pray that they'd be a reality in our lives. And I'm going to again ask you to here this afternoon, just spend a little bit more time in prayer. And I just want to talk to a few of you. You know, maybe you're here and you have that leprosy that's called sin, and that sin is eating away at you. Well, you know what? Just as that leper came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Today, Jesus is telling you to come to Him. It's not you going to Jesus. Jesus is saying, come. Come, all who are weak and heavy laden, burdened down. Come, those of you who have sin. And here's what you need to do. Just come to Jesus and talk to Him. Tell Him that you're sorry for your sin. Tell Him that today you realize He can do something about it, that He died on the cross for you. And thank Him for that and recognize that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say a prayer. And you can say it with me out loud or you can say it silently. But you need to be sincere. And you know what? This is for some of us. Listen, some of us, we backslidden and we need to come back to Jesus. Maybe you need to say this prayer again in your life, or it might be the first time. But you can say this prayer with me. And you know what? Jesus is more than willing to save you. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And now I'm asking you to forgive my sin. God, I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And I know it's not my work, but the work of Jesus. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. Jesus, today, I want you to come into my heart. Today, I'm asking you to come into my life. Change me. Heal me spiritually. And right now, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's a cry of your heart here this afternoon and you said that prayer or something like it and you meant it sincerely, I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand so we can recognize you, pray with you, and rejoice with you. Anyone in here today? I see yours over here on my left. God bless you. Anyone else? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the person who raised their hand. Lord, we thank you for their commitment. And God, I pray now. I pray for anyone who said that prayer. You would fill them, Lord, to overflowing. And you would give them, Lord, the ability to understand how great of a work you have done in their lives here this afternoon in this place, that they've been made whole and complete, just like this man we talked about, that leprosy sin is done away with and cured completely. And God, I pray that they would know that your blood has washed them and cleansed them and taken away all of the guilt and the shame and washed it away, and they've been lifted up and placed upon a rock. And that, Lord, you've wrapped them right now with robes of righteousness, that for the first time in their lives they can walk in a righteousness honoring you. And God, we thank you. And we pray that you would bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And Lord, for all of us here today, we want to be more like you, Jesus. We want our lives to reflect you to others we come in contact with, to the brothers and sisters that we interact with, and to the world that we're connected to. That, Lord, you would make that so evident to others of our love for you and, Lord, of our walk with you, that they would desire that same thing. So God, use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's celebrate with the person who raised their hand.